we're joined in the studio once again by Luke Stoddard Nathan of Troy Letter, the must-follow newsletter of for Collar City events. How are you doing, Luke?
Hey, I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for always saying nice things about Troy Letter.
Well, it's so easy to follow. It's great stuff. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was the upcoming budgets, right? The mayor's mayor's got a due date.
Yeah. Yep. Well, the mayor has a due date, and indeed, the mayor has already beat the due date is actually tomorrow, but it was unveiled this past Friday. It's, you know, it's a $70 million plus budget, and it has a lot of different stuff, and that I haven't even finished kind of going through it and unpacking. I did read it cursorily this morning, but I, you know, but a couple, just a couple. So I guess one thing I'll mention just from the outset is that the city's going to have a bunch of hearings, as is typical, where the sort of little committee meetings where a bunch of all the departments under those respective city council committees will have the opportunity to come and field questions from the public and also talk a little bit about their respective departments. And these meetings will extend from this Thursday is the first one, the first finance committee meeting. Which, you know, which covers the mayor's office, the comptroller's office, the city clerk, and some other departments within the city. But it extends all the way through November. So, and what I said in my newsletter of last week was just, you know, this would be, if you're someone who is sort of vaguely familiar with Troy politics or kind of follows it from the outskirts, these meetings would be a good time, I think, to start going, and because you could get a good kind of crash course in how city government works. You know, how many employees does X department have? What do they do? What are the jobs? How is it structured? You know, I think that's, some of these committee meetings may be quite short and maybe they'll just kind of breeze through it, but you know, it may be a good chance to go and kind of learn all the different moving parts of this, you know, quite large, you know, city government operation. So that's just one thing that I mentioned at the outset.
Awesome. You have a schedule of some of the meetings in the Troy Letter itself. Is there a website where folks can find out when they are?
The city website has all this stuff listed. But also, I will give a plug to the newish city clerk, Mara Drogan, who came into her position, I guess, at the beginning of this year, I want to say. She has this new newsletter also, a rival newsletter. Not really. It's quite different, where she announces all the city upcoming meetings and stuff. And she does a good job of kind of sending it out timely. And so she just sent out a newsletter a few days ago with all these different budget related hearings and when they're happening and stuff. But I think on Friday, my next Troy Letter, I'll probably include some info on that too. So it's another plug to subscribe to Troy Letter.
Great.
Let me just mention a couple nuggets that I found in just from looking at the budget itself, but more specifically the 5-year capital plan. That's sort of almost an addendum to the budget. One is that this year they have budgeted in the capital plan $1.4 million to fix up the South Troy pool. That's big news.
Wow, that's huge.
Because
news.
I think that, you know, it wasn't even clear until now, until this was included, that the city had any intention or had any intention of fixing up the pools anytime soon. I think they would have liked to fix up the pools, but you know, but they had also, there was also some talk of like, well, you know, maybe splash pads and things like that, which I think they're also doing are a more cost effective way, and maybe that they're more popular than pools now, and you know, maybe we don't need the pool. You know, there was push and pull, I guess, but it's in the capital plan. I that doesn't mean like it will definitely be fixed up this year, but that it's in the capital plan, I think, can be read as a sign that they are, you know, somewhat serious about actually, you know, I guess, you know, they had an engineering study done, I think, last year that found that, you know, some pretty high number around that, I guess, it would cost to fix the South Troy pool. And then next year in the capital plan, they say they want to fix the Knickerbocker pool, which will cost $3.8 million. So also, you know, but it's in the capital plan. It's not as if it's not. So,
yeah, so
it seems like news.
Yeah. Anything that's in the capital plan is at risk of getting cut because of some other priority, right? I mean, it's not a sure thing.
I think it's somewhat of a wish list. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it'll probably be contingent on certain grants that they may or may not apply for and, you know, external funds of some sort. But that it's in the capital plan at all, you know, I think speaks to a decent, you know, level of prioritization. And, you know, maybe with those hearings that I just a moment ago mentioned, you know, more questions will be asked by the city council about, you know, how serious is this, you know, of a commitment.
Well, I think, and that was my question, if citizens want to get involved. I mean, I know there's been a high level of interest in making sure these pools are open next summer or at least the summer after. This is a time for people to go to those hearings and talk about how important that pool is.
I think so. I think you're right. One other sort of hot ticket item that I found in this five-year capital plan. You can find a lot of interesting stuff in these capital plans. For this year, there's $250,000 or, you know, it says that, you know, the city should spend $250,000 to buy body cameras and for storage of the footage for the body cameras. And they also in the budget elsewhere have a new item. They're going to hire, or they'd like to hire another video storage clerk person at the police department to help with managing all that footage. As I understand it, the body camera, it's been talked about in Troy for a long time now, years in fact, and it was in the it was one of the recommendations in the Attorney General's report after the death of Edson on the death of Edson Thevenin, the man who was killed after he fled a traffic stop and, you know, was eventually shot on the through his windshield on the Collar City Bridge. Anyway, so that there's debate, I think, now still, or there's negotiations rather with the police union about what will the policy be in terms of how long will we store this footage or how long, and that's been ongoing for a while now. But I guess that's still kind of where things are at with that. But the fact that it's in the capital plan for this year, you can at least infer that okay, it is that's another sign that it is moving forward. All right, that's my budget report.
it sounds like it's exciting.
In the last Troy letter, I also reviewed a new-ish book by photojournalist Brenda Ann Keneally, who's a friend of the sanctuary, or at least has, you know, had events here at the sanctuary before. The book is called Upstate Girls Unraveling Collar City. It's a brick of a book. It's humongous. It's a big kind of coffee table size book. And it's over a decade of her photographs and narrative based on following a family and really an extended network of families who all kind of have ties to this immediate block where I'm speaking to you, where we are sitting right now. She initially met these families, or these some of whom were quite young when she met them. They're now a little bit older. When she was on assignment for the New York Times Magazine to photograph one family who figured in a different book, Adrienne Nicole LeBlanc's Random Family, much lauded, loved, praised book that partly takes place in Troy as well. Corinne, you had mentioned off the air to me that you read it, and you know.
It's a worthwhile sociological read.
It is. Yeah. It's amazing that, you know, this, not to get too off topic, but Adrienne's book is quite, it takes place over, I think, a decade as well, like another sort of broad time scale, very detailed. You really get to know the characters. It's been a couple of years since I read it, but as I recall, so they know, I guess they kind of have stayed in touch as well. So they know each other, Brenda and Adrienne. Anyway, it's not just photographs, although the photographs are striking, and you know they sort of gesture or they show rather, you know, serious poverty, and the stories that she tells about some of these families involve, you know, incredible, you know, trauma and experiences that I haven't had, you know, certainly, and also just but it's not just photographs and narrative. She also runs these sort of workshops, and she helps some of her subjects. And I use the word sidebar again. I use the word subjects just because it's kind of an easy way to talk about the people who are covered in this book. I don't know that she would use that term. And in fact, I even touch on this in the review. You know, she is a photojournalist, but she's quite close to some of these people in this book, right? She knows them quite well. It almost feels like she considers herself, or she sees herself in them, in her subjects as well. You know, I think Brenda also, and she talks about this a little bit in the book, grew up in this area, had a bit of a troubled kind of childhood or teenage years, eventually came back, you know, so I think she feels a kind of kinship with her subjects.
Participatory journalist, photojournalist in some way.
Yeah.
Luke, a lot of news takes place between one newsletter and another, one Troy letter and another. Can you give us any any heads up about news that you've encountered in between last week's publication and Friday?
Oh, geez. Any hints? I mean, this morning I did interview Monica Kurzage. I always butcher her last name, but the deputy mayor, I'm sorry, Monica K, I'll call her. We kind of had a wide ranging conversation, some about the budget, some about parking in downtown Troy, which has been a sort of strange fascination of mine, because I, even though I don't have a car, but I'm just like, parking is just this big debate in downtown Troy. We talked about that. So that's coming up in the next newsletter. So you can subscribe anytime, tinyletter.com/Troy_letter, or you can just email me luke.s.nathan@gmail.com and I'll sign you up if you want.
Wow, fantastic. Luke, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course.
And we'll see you again next week.
Thank you for having me.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM.